I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I am Father Garrett Burns, and you're listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. With me today in the studio are Father Chad Arnold.
Flying high today.
Father Drew Hoffman.
He's in such a nice mood today.
You flying high?
Not as high as Chad, but that's...
I started the day a little distracted. Now I'm in the zone, so we're doing great.
That's
now.
So good to hear.
You know, it is.
Oh, man.
And we're blessed to have with us Sister Julian Marie of the IHM Sisters. Are you flying high, sister?
Sure.
She's not pumped to be on a podcast right now.
But she's wearing her solemnity habit today. Mm-hmm. So it's that's what we just found out, Chad.
We noticed. No.
Notice. I was changing laundry.
But you didn't even notice. Gary and I noticed right away.
Non-faded and black veil. Like non-faded black veil, non-faded navy blue.
I am not wearing my...
So we said it's exactly what we said right before you walked in.
Every once in a while, I you know, just put on my clerics in the morning, and I have my shoes and my pants and my shirt, and I'm like, I have four different colors of black
right.
on. Like, nothing somehow matches. So I need a solemnity set. That's a great...
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a great recommendation. So, well, we do a different patron saint of the studio every time, sister. So today, we're in the studio of St. Julian, but you get to decide which one.
Oh.
Because
you don't know.
I don't know. So who is
We're
the studio
known for
named
our research.
After?
Yeah, this is the studio of St. Peter Julian Amar.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my guess.
That's what I was gonna say, but you didn't ask me. So
what do you know about St. Peter Julian Amar?
He's a pretty holy guy.
Uh-huh.
Great love of the Lord. Really got into scripture and the sacraments.
Eucharist, especially, I
Eucharist,
think.
Eucharist, yes. Yep, that was
That's
one
all
of his top seven.
Definitely one of his favorite sacraments. Well, yeah, tell us a little. We know a lot.
Obviously, yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about St. Peter Julian Amard.
He was a French priest in the 1800s, and he was. It took him a while to actually get ordained because he kept getting sick and sent home from seminary. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he was ordained. He became a religious. One day in a Corpus Christi procession, he was carrying the monstrance and had like a profound Eucharistic conversion. And so he said, from now on, I will only preach Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And so he's known as the Apostle of the Eucharist. So
is Corpus Christi an extra like feast day for you? Do you get to celebrate a little on that one too?
Well, I think, August 2nd is his first feast day, and then Corpus Christi, and then...
You just get all the celebrations.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, today's the Sacred Heart, so Eucharistic Heart, so yeah.
You should get Peter too.
Yeah, he's my grand patron.
That's double. Yeah, there's two Peter feast days, so...
That was a pretty smart name choice.
Well, you take all the Marian feast days.
You're just always feasting.
Well, I mean, that's a very Catholic thing to do.
Yeah, right?
Exactly, that is part
of
the Catholic cultural identity is we have so many reasons to celebrate.
Yep.
That's why Southern Germany is so much happier than Northern Germany.
Wow, what a reference.
I look for any opportunity I can to start Northern Industrial Germany.
Wow.
I need his intercession. I love Eucharistic processions. Some of the favorite things I've done as a priest, but also... During it, as he had this profound experience, I'm usually just, it's so hot.
Soaked in sweat.
I'm just focused on that. So I need his intercession.
Well, this last Corpus Christi was raining during some of the guys' processions.
Yep. We had one, and we got stuck out at our Fatima shrine during the rain.
Oh, wow.
So, like, we were...
Hunkered down.
Yeah, mother's like, well, let's pray a decade of the rosary. Yep. And then we got through five decades, and she goes, well, we should pray the beginning of the rosary. So we went back and caught that, and then we're like, well, it's misting now. We can keep going. It was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah, one of the deacons, I think it was Conrad. Deacon Conrad got to lead it as a deacon, but it was really muddy, and he's wearing this nice cope at St. Anne. And so Father Shepherd, the pastor, like lifts up the cope as if he's like this cardinal or something, but really it's just like, we can't get this dirty. Like, we don't have a lot of nice things.
Well, and Deacon Conrad's height, promote the likelihood of a cope being on the ground. He's not our NBA all-star.
No, that is true. Well, sister, what's your current assignment?
I teach at Bishop Carroll.
Woo! Let's go.
Yep.
What do you teach?
I teach science right now.
Science?
So I do, yep.
That's a little unusual for one of the sisters, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So we prefer to teach religion, but we all have degrees, and then we're certified in a secular subject. So I'm currently, I haven't moved over to the religion side yet. So I'm still teaching physics and chemistry.
Wow. Did you choose science as your secondary one, or is that like it handed to you? Did you do something wrong and mother punished you like you have to be the science teacher?
No.
Because that's how that would work in my life.
No. Okay. No, I chose it, yeah.
Chemistry.
And physics, is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
I'm just trying to imagine my experience of chemistry in high school if it had been taught by a sister. I think it would have been positive. I struggled in chemistry in high school.
Me too.
So,
I mean, I think they had fun. I look pretty good in the lab. So I wear a lab coat when we're doing like experiments.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Because I like my habit and I don't want it, you know.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense in chemistry.
Yeah. What are, do you have cool experiments? What's your best experiment you have the kids do? Anything blow up?
There was nothing blew up. There was one that we just take a strip of magnesium and light it on fire, and it gets bright.
Uh-huh.
And one of the girls missed it, so she had to come back and do it. And she like screamed, and she dropped it, and she's like, "What are you?" I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Oh, it just it was like Jesus, like it was so bright." So in her lab report, she wrote it turned into Jesus, and I was like, "That's not okay." It was bright, but that's not quite what happened.
What? For the transfiguration, you can do that as a homily. Light some magnesium in the church and this white light.
Would you listen? Would you read a series of children's books called Sister Science, in which a nun teaching chemistry and physics teaches kids about the combination of faith and reason?
Ooh.
I would read that before I'd watch most of your Hallmark suggestions.
That's a bad opinion. That's a good idea. That would be a good TV show for little kids and a sister teaching science, and we find faith and reason. And I'm going to pay for some things at St. Paul now.
You can write that for us.
Yeah, I'll go to work on it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Sister science is what you're going with, though.
Well, no, it was just not. I just heard about this idea 3 minutes ago, Garrett.
So many other opportunities we would go with sister science. It sounds like an 80s hair metal band.
That's funny.
Okay. So how long have you been teaching?
2 years plus half a semester of student teaching.
Okay.
So 2.5, okay. 2.
What are high schoolers like today to teach?
You know, I didn't graduate from high school that long ago, and I just think, like, we were a lot different. I don't know if it's the culture or...
By different, you mean, like, way better, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course. Oh, I love you all. Whoever's listening to this, I love you. No, I do have a couple stories. So last year, at the end of the year, the seniors last week is like crazy, you know.
Yeah.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then finals Thursday, Friday. Monday was anything but a backpack day. So, you know, shenanigans all over the place. My first hour was usually pretty quiet, but they weren't quiet that day. And I was like, if first hour is not quiet, third hour is going to be a train. So I'm dreading third hour. So I'm standing outside my door to welcome students to third hour. And I could hear shenanigans happening upstairs. I'm right at the bottom of the staircase. And one of the girls comes down the staircase around the corner and she goes, "Watch out, sister." And I was like, okay.
That's not a good sign.
No, no. And so I could hear behind her this noise like, rrr. I was like, what is, I've heard that sound, but I couldn't place it. And then another boy comes down and around the corner and he's got a backpack leaf blower on. And so he points the leaf blower at my face. You know, he's like 2 feet from me and he pulls the trigger. And then my next thought was, my veil's not on my head right now.
Oh, man.
No way.
I feel like that's an expellable.
Yeah, that's an expulsion.
No, he didn't mean to do it. So I.
He didn't mean to do it.
What did he expect to happen?
That's the most modern world thing I've ever heard in my 2026.
Usually they're like clipped on. So I had it clipped on. So it's usually not a problem. Like, we live in Kansas. There's wind. Like, it's not an issue. Well, it was an issue that day. So I turned around. I think it just kind of like fell back. So I turned around and grabbed it, and I heard him disappear into the classroom. And he goes, okay. So I didn't hear the end of that sentence because I was a little panicky. So I grabbed my veil and I went to the bathroom to fix it, and it was fine. And then I was walking back to the classroom and I was like, I wonder what's going to happen next. So I walked in the classroom and said, okay, everybody, let's pray. And they said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And I was like, oh, this is good. This is good.
This is good.
So they were pretty calm for the, like, waiting on pins and needles. Like, what's she going to do? And I didn't say anything and he didn't say anything. So we got through the end of class. Later, I walked by, I can't remember which sister I walked by, but she looked at me, she goes, oh, I heard you had an interesting day. Like, kept going. And then she saw the boy and he goes, sister, I almost cried. It's like, well, I mean, I walked by him later in the hall and he goes, I'm so sorry. It's like, you're okay. Everything's okay.
Man, you handled that well. That guy.
Yeah.
I know. Well, and then another student told Sister Mary Elizabeth, walked in her classroom and said, sister's habit got blown off.
Okay.
Jeez.
So Tuesday we had a vocabulary lesson. Cabbage, veil. And their last assignment on Wednesday was a Canvas quiz identifying pieces of the habit.
Veil,
habit. Okay, well, so habit did not come off, just the veil, and it was brief anyway.
Yeah. Well played.
That's awesome.
Man,
I
just can't imagine that. That's disrespectful. Respect the veil.
Garrett once cheated on a test because our teacher was blind.
What? Also, she wasn't a sister.
That's your defense. So,
Tracy Fox.
Mrs. Fox. She wasn't really blind. But
cheating's okay unless you're a sister.
No, that's not what I'm saying, okay, but
just wanted to clarify
it's totally that. Different situation.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, Sister Giovanni was still at Carroll when I was there. I'm like, if I would have blown her veil off, I would still to this day be worried about the state of my soul in the next life.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the play with the guy. You never punished him, so he's carrying that still at this moment.
What are the chances this kid becomes a priest?
I don't know.
You make up for a multitude of sins through great love. So
that'd be a start of a vocation.
Well, he knows who he is. So
be a start of a good vocation story.
That's true.
But so you're IHM here in Wichita now. But where did you grow up?
I grew up in Nebraska.
The good life.
The good life,
as they say.
That's true.
As people from Nebraska say. Yep. No one else says that. Well,
okay.
I'm sorry,
all
sister.
All the signs walk like as you all drive into the state. The good life.
Yeah, when you are in the state, no one outside the state
knows the secret of how great it is.
I was in Nebraska this week.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine.
The fine life.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's the good life.
Was it hard to come home? I mean, just Nebraska just pulled you.
Yeah, yeah. So different from Kansas. I crossed that border on 81 South. It was like it's so different places. Not exactly the same at all.
Okay, so I don't know if any of you know this. I am actually related to another priest brother of yours.
No,
I'm going to have to guess Father LeBenz because of Nebraska.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So his dad and my dad are cousins.
Oh, really? That wow.
Okay.
Wow. We won't hold that against you.
That's fair. So when you walk into my classroom, I have a nice Immaculate Heart statue, and then directly underneath it is my N. Actually, there's multiple ones there, so it's like got my priority. You know,
for knowledge.
Go the bread. I mean, Hail Mary. Okay. Yeah.
So you're a Husker fan.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So much to cheer for. It's almost too much.
Volleyball.
To count.
Great volleyball.
Certainly volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then everything else too.
Everything else.
I mean, you can't grow up there and not be a Husker fan.
It's true, because there's nothing else to do.
And I have noticed that that unites the state. Like, Kansas doesn't have something to unite the state. Yeah. Like, everyone has this Nebraska pride that people in Kansas...
It's not insufferable at all. Like, it's really charming. And people around the country find it very charming.
But we have one guy in the house just graduated, and his family's all from Nebraska. Okay. So we've had, you know, he's always excited anything good happens in Nebraska. And I'll find him watching the most unusual sporting events. He's like, no, we're good in this. This is backyard croquet. Right. Yeah, this is where we've got a really good team this year, and somehow he's found it on TV.
Corn judging.
But it is the good life there, and yet you left the good life.
It's a great point.
To Wichita.
I would only do that for one reason, and that's Jesus.
Oh.
That's a good answer.
Good
that's
answer.
Good answer.
If
good
I
answer.
Were not called to be an IHM sister or a sister not in the state of Nebraska, I would not be not in the state of Nebraska.
That's fair.
Fair enough. You sound a little bit like the Irish missionaries of old that would generously give themselves and go to other places, but always, always fondly remember Ireland as the best, closest to heaven this side of heaven.
Yeah. I feel that, yeah.
Well, we would love to hear that, how the Lord led you out of the good life to the best life with him, wherever that might be. What is your vocation story? How did the Lord lead you to this life as a sister of the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
Yeah, so I grew up in Nebraska in a small town on a farm. My sister and I had sheep, which I do really miss my sheep. Anyway.
Have you asked mother? Maybe could you guys get sheep?
Yeah, this is why I'm never going to be a mother, because we'll have sheep.
It's like, we all have some of those like in the back of the mind where it's like, I'll never be a bishop for this because X, Y, Z. Yeah. So it's nice to have, honestly.
Yeah. So
you're free of that responsibility.
We'll see. I'd want whatever God wants, but I hope it's not that.
Father Yurok told us sheep are dumb. Is that true?
You know, Everyone says that, but I don't really think they're that dumb. I mean, you can train them.
I mean, he said pigs were smart, so this was not a trustworthy. This was not a man we really trusted. But
pigs are smart, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I grew up in a small town, and I really am very grateful for growing up in a small town. Like, the more I'm in Wichita and in the metro area, just, like, it takes a village to raise a child, and just I am more grateful for it every year that I got to grow up in a small town. In Genoa, there's not a lot happening with the church. So being Catholic means you go to Mass on Sunday, and you go to CCD on Wednesday, and then if you remember, you pray before meals, and that's it.
So, what part of Nebraska is this in?
Straight north of Wichita, north of York. So, yeah, going to my parents' house, you drive north for 4 hours.
Okay.
You turn left one time. Like, it's a pretty straight shot. Yeah. So, yeah, we just didn't have a lot going on with the church. Somehow, I learned about the March for Life, and my senior year of high school, I signed up to go on the March for Life. And I went, and it was fantastic, like, for lots of reasons. But, like, I saw students my age praying over their meals in the fast food restaurant. And I was like, what's going on? Like, oh, I've never thought about that. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then also one night we had adoration and confessions. And so I went to confession, and that's the first time I gave the Lord my heart, was when I went to confession on the March for Life. And that just, like, changed everything. Like, all of a sudden, like, I just had this desire to know God. I didn't know what to do with it. Like, I just could feel him working. I'm like, I think I don't know what to do with this, Lord. So that summer after I graduated high school, I worked on a retreat, kind of like tech, but for a high school freshman. And the priest preaching one day said, some of you men in here might be called to be priests. Some of you women might be called to be sisters. And I know without my confession earlier that year, I would, like, in one ear, out the other. Like, I would not. That wouldn't have stopped me in my tracks like it did. Mm. But I didn't know what to do with that either. So I just said,
That's interesting.
Okay. Like, I just, I didn't have a yay or nay. I was just like, oh, well, that's an option. I didn't know it was an option. So then I went to college at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Since I haven't said it yet, go Big Red. I can't tell the story without saying go Big Red at least once. And so just, like, being on campus, I started going to daily mass right away. And then, like, I took a holy hour once a week and joined a Bible study and just surrounded myself with, like, good Catholic people. And it was just, like, immersing yourself in Catholic life. Like, life is just good.
What year would this be?
This was 2015, so 2016.
Right when they got the new center?
Yeah. Right. So they dedicated it in April, and then I was there. And yeah, it was fantastic. Like, it's just so cool. Life-changing. Beautiful.
That place rocks. Have you been there?
No.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Gosh. Something else. Okay, so freshman year, just, like, surrounding myself with good people. And by the end of the year, I knew that the Lord was asking me, like, actually discern your vocation, not just kind of, like, think about it. Like, there's sisters all over the place in Lincoln, but I didn't, you know, I looked at them, I was like, oh, that's kind of, but he's like, no, actually, like, discern it. So I taught Totus Tuus for the Archdiocese of Omaha, which is my home diocese, for that summer. And I came back, and on Totus Tuus, they had us make a holy hour every day. So I got back to school, and, like, 2 weeks into class, I was like, oh, I have to keep praying like that. Like, if I don't, I'm not gonna make it. Like, I have to keep praying. So I made a holy hour every day. So we had 10 p.m. mass. So 9 o'clock holy hour, 10 p.m. mass. And first off, it was like, okay, I said I'm going to make a holy hour. So I'm going to make a holy hour at 9 o'clock. Great. It's on my schedule. Good. And then, I don't know, a couple weeks in, it was like, no, I'm going to be in the, like, there's someone in there waiting for me. Like, I knew that our Lord is really, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, but, like, it became real for me in a new way. So, like, there's a person in there waiting for me. And then it became, I'm going in there because I said I would, but there's a person in there, and that person loves me. And then it became, I'm going because I said I would, but there's a person in there, and he loves me, and I love him back. Like, I think Jesus, I think I'm falling in love with you. Like, I'll get married if you want me to, but I don't think I really want to anymore. So then, yeah, like, I just, like, hopelessly in love with our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, and that's St. Peter, Julian, Amard. Mm-hmm. So, like, every vocation story probably revolves around the Eucharist, but mine, like, holy hours every day. That's why I took him as my patron. Yeah, so then it's like, okay, great. Called the religious life. What do you do with that? Okay, so I was studying engineering at the time, hence chemistry and physics. And then, so as you're going through college, they want you to get internships during the summer. So I was praying, but also working on that. And so I was offered an internship at a flour mill. So I prayed about it and accepted it. And I moved to a place called Wichita, Kansas for a summer. Yeah. So the mill is in Newton. So if you have any questions about wheat or flour, just Let me know. I'll I answer. Right. Okay.
I left that list in the office.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I already know everything about
yeah.
it.
Okay. Fun fact, 60% of the nation's grocery flour comes out of Newton.
That's a blast.
So let's go.
I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
That is fun. That is
yeah.
fun.
And it was cool because like during harvest, which is happening right now, so I was in maintenance because my boss, the maintenance manager, saw TOTUS 2 on my resume and he's like, oh, she's working for me. So it was
that's
like,
cool.
quite the experience.
So teach TOTUS 2 us. It'll get you a job later.
Exactly. And then during, I was in maintenance, but they sent us to the elevator during harvest. And so we're dumping these trucks of wheat and the wheat is like hot because it just came out of the field. So yeah, the flour probably on your grocery or on your shelf comes from around here. Well, it's pretty cool. Anyway.
That is cool.
Yeah. So I had like, it was so much fun. I had my own little cute apartment on Ridge Road and I drove to work every day and I liked my boss and my coworkers and I was making a lot of money. And like, it was just like everything that you could want that I had. But I was still praying and I went to go pray after work every day. And it was like, okay, Jesus is, I mean, the candle's lit. So he's here, but like in prayer, like totally dry, nothing. Like all summer, like without let up, like it was like I'd go to the chapel and I'd say, okay, Jesus, I'm here for the next 57 minutes. Okay. 56 minutes. Okay. Like there's nothing. So I realized later, like he let me see, like, if you want this, you can have it and it'll be fun and you'll enjoy it, but it won't satisfy you. It won't be enough. So, okay. So I finished my summer in Wichita and then I moved back to Lincoln. I really liked Wichita. It's a nice place. So I shared with my friends constantly how much I liked Wichita. Wichita's great. So then I was looking for religious communities because I wasn't sure like when he'd want me to enter. So kind of trying to do that, not really, I don't know how to do that. And nothing really came out of it. And then also like internships, I don't know. So I was still applying for internships. I get a whole bunch of offers and pray about it. No, turn it down. And I was like, okay, but it's really fun. Like it would be, you know, I could do this. I could travel here. I could work here. And every time it was like, no, turn it down. And so I knew what I was called to, but I still had trouble giving up what I thought I wanted. So it was like this kind of like tension in my heart. And then it lasted until we had our Newman Center fundraiser banquet and we had a speaker and I don't even remember what he said, but I know after his talk, I went to make my holy hour and I was like, yeah, if he trusts the Lord and what he was going through, like I can trust the Lord with this. So I quit looking at internships and just like gave it up. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm free, whatever you want. And then I'm like, I don't know how to find a religious community. So like you're in charge here because I've got nothing. After like 6 months of me talking about how much I loved Wichita, my best friend was like, if you go visit the sisters in Wichita. And I was like, oh,
Captain Obvious.
Like, why didn't you say this 6 months ago? Okay. So I called Sister Mitra's and I came and visited for a weekend. And then I visited for half of spring break. And then by the time I left after spring break, it was like, yeah, this is where I think I'm supposed to be.
Did you meet any of the sisters like that summer you were here?
No, because I kind of like slowed down on my, just like I drove by the convent and I was like, oh, they're here. Okay, great. And Father Tetro and Father Hyman had told me like, we've got sisters here. I'm like, okay, good. That's great. But yeah.
Where were you going to church and going to adoration when you were in Wichita?
Sacred Heart, St. Catherine's, sometimes St. Francis. I was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very college-like.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, well, one day I just was on Mass Times, like the week after I moved to Wichita, I was on masstimes.org. And I was like, oh, I'll get home from work, take a nap, and then go to Mass. Oh, good. There's a 6:30 Mass at St. Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And I pulled up to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, saw people going inside, and I was like, I bet I'm going to Spanish Mass.
Yep.
And I did.
See.
Yes. Yep. So then I entered in 2018. And then, okay, so most vocation stories end there, but I have a little PS. So I entered because I fell in love with Jesus. And then I, you know, we teach. Okay, I can teach. Sure, I could do that. But I mostly entered to be a bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then I did my student teaching and I was like, yeah, I could teach. Yeah, sure, that's fine. Okay, I could teach. And then I got my own classroom with my own students and I realized all of a sudden, like I was waking up, we get up early. I was waking up and the first thing I thought was not like, good morning, Lord. It was like, what day is it? Do I get to go see my students?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like from the high priestly prayer, like those whom you have given me, they are your gift to me. I was like, that's like my student. Like, oh my gosh, I love them. And then this time last year when my seniors were leaving I found myself crying like for days, like they're leaving me. And then I realized as I prayed throughout the summer, like my students changed my heart. And now I love teaching. And I love what I get to do. And I can't believe I get to do it. And then like during spring break or Thanksgiving break this year, I was like, 9 days without my students. What am I going to do without them? Like crying again. Like, yeah. So just, it's so much better than what I could have chosen for myself or would have chosen for myself. I can't. Yeah. I'm just so happy. I can't believe I get to do this.
So often the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves.
Yeah.
That's so interesting though. Yeah. One of the other sisters, the IHMs that came on said something similar. Like I would think just outside in, you think, okay, I'm called a religious life. I want to be the bride of Christ. Now, what else do I like to do on top of that or something? Or like, I also like to teach or be in a hospital, so I'll go seek this out. But her and your experience were not that. It's like you find the community and then the rest of it just flows. Yeah. And that's just amazing witness and trust of that truth.
Yeah. And the Lord takes care of it. I told my family, the convent I was entering, we'd teach, and they're like, you? Like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, thanks, Mom and Dad.
Has there been anything since entering that, like, I don't know, you had this idea of what convent like was going to be like and it'd be perfect in some way? You know, we talk about idealism a lot when we do marriage prep. Like, was there something like that that now has been purified in like a good way that's just more realistic now?
Well, nothing comes to mind, but I spent a lot of time with the School Sisters of Christ the King in Lincoln. So like I was there probably once a week at their convent, just like, I don't know, praying with them or work day or retreat or something. So I just got, they gave me a lot of formation on like what religious life is. Mm. Yeah. So even if you're not called to a community, you could still spend time with sisters and it's good and it's formative. I didn't answer your question.
No, that's great. I think, but that helps to like manage those expectations by just spending more time and it's not a pressure filled thing. Just go see the sister, spend time with them. And then that helps make an authentic discernment. So that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. And thank you all for listening to About 4 o'clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website at about4.org. And today the final word goes to Sister Julian Marie.
This is from St. Ignatius of Antioch. Do not have Jesus Christ on your lips and the world in your hearts.
Until next time, be not afraid.